Okay, just something I felt during worship when Talita shared about standing on the shore. And it's so easy to trust God when we are in a safe space and where, yeah. And then I felt the scripture, actually I read this morning and it just came to mind again. And it's, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. And there's another translation that you described it so beautiful. It's like, God is beside me. What can make me afraid? And it's just like standing on the shore. It's like, God is beside you. Take his hand and go in. What can men or flesh do to me when God is beside me? So put your trust in God. Take God's hand and go into the waves.
Amen. Amen. I think a real encouragement to take those faith steps. You know, and they don't always come easy. This morning feels to me like one of those grade one rugby times that I spoke of last week. You know, every now and again, my little boy, he hangs there at the back. He wants to take, then I need to tell him, go in, go get the ball. And then he goes in and he works and kind of tries to get the ball. And sometimes that's how you need to press in for the peace of the Lord or for the presence of God. You need to press through those thoughts or so. And the way that you go in, almost like that rugby, and you go work, is you pray in tongues and you work that thing until, or you speak the word of the scriptures or the truth or whatever that is that God, you work with that until you find the peace. And peace is an incredibly powerful thing. When he's saying that peace says the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath our feet. Peace overcomes. It's not as, you know, kind of with flair and violence, but it's an incredible dominating thing. Peace comes over. And that's what we trust in God for in our lives. So I want to encourage you, go into that ruck of life and work that, get that ball. And on that note, Len, come on. It's great to have you with us. And you've already shared a bit, but bless you. Yeah, have a great time with us. Great.
Just before I start, I feel I have a word for Melkbos. And it's going to happen. That's the word. It's going to happen. I just feel in my spirit, something is going to happen. Maybe it's just me, because I'm so pumped up this morning. But I feel to tell you guys that, be ready. Something is coming to Melkbos. I just feel it. Something has changed in the spirit. And there's a expectancy in my heart that something is going to happen in this place, in this congregation, not in this place, in the hearts of the people. And I mean, you guys, you do have a redemptive purpose in this place, in Melkbos. And I think we haven't seen it yet, Ivan. I agree that. You agree with that? Yeah, we haven't seen it yet. I mean, this is wonderful. What we have seen now is wonderful. Sorry, did I do something wrong? Sure.
As he says that, and specifically to the ones that have been here a long time, as Mornay led, as Mike led, and where's Mike? Welcome, Mike. Those of you there, Mike's back from Brazil, 4 weeks in Brazil, worked very hard. That's why he's kind of keeping a low profile. Yeah. But as Mike led, and I just want to thank you, because there's been a lot of prayers into what God wants to do, and take strength again. Take strength again, because oftentimes it's like as it's ready, we're just too tired to take that, and we get, yeah, but I've said that 2 years ago, and now only, no, it's... Just receive this and say, yes, Lord, we're going with this. Irrespective of how long you might have felt it took or not, we receive that for everything. And I want to thank you for all the prayers that's in that, because we're stepping into some of what God has already worked through you.
That's good. Yeah, I see you guys, you are digging. I mean, digging a well, digging and digging and digging and digging. And the word of pressing in and keep on pressing in until you find it, I believe that you will see it, that it's coming. It's going to burst from underneath. And what I'm talking about is the life of God in the church. And it will have so much impact in the area that you will just praise God for it. I mean, there's so many people outside that still need God. Am I right? So, yeah, in my spirit, I sensed it so strong this morning is that you guys are going to hit the water quickly, soon, and then see what happens in this place. It's like if you go to Stompreet in Namibia, they bore holes to irrigate. They need to go 300 meters through rock. That's very deep. But when they find it, they cannot contain it. I mean, it's like it's bursting from underneath with a huge pressure, and then they actually can put up pumps and to irrigate the fields around the borehole. But it takes a lot of money, and it takes a lot of effort to get 300 meters, not feet, meters deep into the rock to find the water. And I mean, that's just a word of encouragement for this church. I mean, the same for Swellendam, the same for Joschen. I don't think we really know what's going to happen. I feel God's going to do something very special in this last times that we live in. We're going to see His power again and see many people come to Jesus. Amen. So, yes, now you know where Hetty is. She's still regaining her strength. She will not be here. So, for us, it's wonderful for Tom and I to be here and to spend time with you guys. Melkbos is a very special place for us. We joined Swellendam joined Joschen 8 years ago, and this is one of the first churches that reached out to us. Monet and Charles and Frederick and all the guys, they came to visit us, and we have good relationship with them. We love Melkbosstrand. It's a wonderful place. Now, you know, I'm so Afrikaans, I even speak in my heavenly tongue in Afrikaans accent, so yeah. My preach this morning is called Signs of Life. Signs of Life. And the life of Christ. So I want to start this morning. I want to ask you, before I go on, are you really filled with the life of Christ? Are you really filled with it? Is this church filled with the life of Christ? We need the life of Christ. Amen. Not doing church, not all the religious activities, but we're looking for the life of Christ. So I can keep you busy up to tonight about me finding the life of Christ from a place of being religious and dead, but that's not about me this morning. It's about the life of Jesus. And I'm actually so full of it this morning that I feel to jump around. And if you know me as a farmer from the Free State, yeah, you say that's a miracle. Come on, this guy. Full of life, not more the grumpy old man. The first time they see me in Joschen, they said to me, smile, boyki, smile. You need to smile. You're too serious. So I'm trying my best. When I get nervous, I can do this. This is my default. This is not natural. For some guys, this is natural. This is a default, minus vice versa. Okay. But filled with the life of Christ. I mean, and that's not excitement. It's more than that. I want to go there this morning and just maybe spend time with you and bring in you the desire to connect again with the life of Jesus and to trust God that this will be a place filled with the life of Jesus. It's only Jesus that will save people and His life in us. And yeah. Just we bring you at a place this morning where we can pray together and say, Lord, fill this church. Fill me as a person. Fill me with your life. I want to be so full of Jesus, so full of your life, that when people meet with me, it's not about me. It's not about my skills or my personality or my looks. I don't have any of it, but my looks or whatever. Yeah, it's about Jesus. When you touch me, you touch Jesus. When you touch this church, you will touch His presence. I feel that's the word this morning for us. For Joschen, is again, seek with all our hearts, seek the life of Christ. Amen? Yeah, according to some scholars, Jesus, while he was on here on earth, went to the temple to worship and found people doing business they thought was religious. But he cleansed it by turning over the tables and chasing them out. Twice, not just once, twice. Once at the beginning of his ministry and the second time just after he entered Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. What was his reason? My Father's house will be called a place of prayer and worship. So, there's other signs that I will speak about, but one of the signs that we have to find in the church is what we see this morning is a place of worship and prayer. Your own life should be filled with prayer and worship, not just on a Sunday. You're not allowed to do your devotions just on the Sunday. You need to find God. Every day you need to find Him. Every day you need to put yourself aside and ask and see God, filled with His Spirit, filled with His presence, in worship and in prayer. That's how you get filled with the life of God. So, as many as of you know, Hetty and I, we visit Namibia quite often. And every time we have to cross the Orange River just before you go over to the border. And every time I'm so amazed at the abundance of life in the river and next to the river. You know, when you get to Springbok, there's nothing. It's only stones. And it's as hot as Wellington over there. So from there, for 110 kilometers up to the river, you find nothing. It's stone desert. But when you get to the river, I spent a whole weekend there a few weeks ago. It's just amazing how much life the river has. The fish in the river, the birds, the trees, the reeds. It's so amazing. All the irrigation and the fields and the farmers and the people and the villages is... Just go there and you see that's what water brings, life. And then you go from there, you go again up to Kitmansweep. There's nothing. I mean, for up to Gruno, it looks like it's even worse than a sand desert because it's only stones and there's nothing there. And then you realize only water brings life. But that's the life of Jesus in the church. It's the water of God. And I'm so blessed this morning by the word of Frank, because that's a confirmation of my word this morning, is that we need to seek again the river of life in our own lives and in the church. So can I share a scripture with you? I want to start with that this morning in Revelation 22, verse 1 to 5. It's so beautiful. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. You eat peaches there every month, not just once a year. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. And I know that is a picture of the future. I know that. But also, I believe that we as a church can experience much of the life of Christ while we're still here on earth. Amen? In ourselves, in the church, just picture that, how wonderful it is to be in that circumstances, in that atmosphere. And that's my aim this morning, that you and I will see again that it is possible. It's possible. And actually, it's our inheritance to experience the life of Christ in our lives and in the church. You know what? We're living in a spiritual, barren, empty desert. Am I right? If you look around you, you listen to whatever on social media, you go to Facebook or whatever, it's spiritual dead around us. So it's the same as from Springbok to the Orange River. There's nothing spiritually. I can't even listen to the news anymore. I can't. It's just so dead. I mean, from anything spiritual, from anything Christian, from anything of Jesus. It's so dry. It's so dead. Yeah. So anything less than life is either on life support or already dead. Anything less than life is already on life support or already dead. Spiritually, we're living in a dead society. And that's why we need the river of life and the spiritual life of Christ to burst open in this place so that people can come to Jesus again. So, just a small testimony, just to make it more clear. In December last year, my eldest son got seriously ill. And while we were supporting him in hospital, his vital signs of life were always closely monitored. His temperature, his blood pressure, his heart rate, and his oxygen levels in his blood, that were indications of how well his lungs were functioning. He was well alive, but on life support, with all the care and medication in ICU. He was there for 5 days. So he was on life support, but he wasn't full of life. He was so ill. Today, by God's grace, he is healthy again and doing life, working and caring for his family. But I was thinking of this. So this is the question. Maybe as Christians, many of us are on life support. Many of us is in ICU, and we need someone to look after us. And I believe we as Christians can be full of life, not on life support, but you can be an overcomer. And I pray this morning that as I go on sharing, that God will just reach out to you this morning, and that you will have the faith with me to see the river of life flowing in your life and in this church. Another scripture, so beautiful, in Psalm 36, verse 7 to 9. How priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Wonderful, isn't it? God is life. Jesus is life. So the first thing that I want to share, I mean, there's many signs of life in our lives and in the church, but just a few pointers I want to lay before you this morning. There's many aspects of God's life, but one is, for me, very important, is changed lives. People change. Where there's the life of Christ in the church, people change. Amen? Filled with the presence of Jesus. Then we read in Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 5, we read, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following his desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. I gave my heart to God in 1993. That's how many years ago? 26 years ago. So, up to this day, the most, thanks, honest, the most important I believe the most important day in my life was the day I realized that God has reached out to me even before I reached out to Him. Amen. He was drawing me closer to Him. And on that Sunday morning, and I remember it so well, in April 1993, we went to church that morning from the farm. So we went, climbed into the car, and I had my suit on and my white tie, and we're going to church now. And on our way to church, when we drove into the town, I remember that small little happy-clappy weird guys in the Lewis furniture store. We call them the Crocodile Church. And when they get there, they pull you to the water to get baptized. So we call them the Crocodile Church. Happy clappies and weird guys and everything, you know what? But the moment we went into town, I said to Etty, my wife, I said, you know what? Drop me at that small little church this morning. What? I'm going to church with my children. They're going to Sunday school and I'm going to church. I said, it's okay. You go to church this morning? I go to the Lewis furniture store this morning for a meeting. And when we got into this small church, I mean, only 20 people. And when I was looking at them, I thought they were waiting for me. They were waiting for me. Because everyone was looking at me and saying, here he is now, here he is now. I mean, that I could hear them saying without them saying it, here he is now. So, yeah, sat down and the guy started to preach. I can't remember what he said. I remember his name very well, but I can't remember what he said. Up to this day, I can't remember. But I remember God was just so on me that morning. Like, Len, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. And then when he made an altar call, I was the only one. But I didn't worry. I just went up to the front and said, here I am, God. Here I am. And I gave my heart to God. I found a place filled with the life of Christ. I mean, even if there's only 20 people that came together, there was life of Jesus in that church. And it changed my life completely. I mean, some of the guys said afterwards, when they saw me made this change in a small town in the Free State, they said, you know what? We believe you had a spiritual stroke. So whatever you call it, I don't mind. I found Jesus in my life, you know. And then some of the guys said, we watched you for how many years? We said to each other, don't worry, you'll come back. You'll come back. Just give him time. It's because it's so hectic financially on the farm. That's why he went to God. And you'll come back. Don't worry. I never come back. I mean, not to that, but he said, I will go back to. I stayed with Jesus. But we need a place filled with the life of Christ. I believe. Changed life. Unfortunately, why I'm saying this, I see in our church, unfortunately, I see men and women coming in, up to this day, in Swanendam, in the church, and they do not change. It's not just that church that I'm talking about. Up to this day, I see people for 5, 6, 7 years in church, they do not change. And I'm asking myself, have you really met Jesus? Because it's only Jesus that will change your life. You cannot. It's not a church that will change your life. It's not friendship. It's not the social. It's not the community life. It's the person. It's the love. It's the Holy Spirit. It's being born again, cut to the heart, finding the Spirit in your spirit, walking with God, hearing His voice. That's what changed you. And we have to find that life again. Otherwise, this is a caution. If it's not in the church, it's possible that you will find people in this place being here for many, many years and they haven't changed at all. And when you counsel them, you find they just ran around the mountain again and again and again and again. The foundation of it all is a river of life. Come on. You have to meet Him person to person and then walk with Him face to face and hear His voice daily. And being changed from one glory to another form of glory every day. That's what it is. If it's not real in your life, for what I'm saying this morning, if it's not real in your life, then you need Jesus in your life. Again, you need a place where you recommit and say, you know what, Lord, I know what Lenny's speaking about. Maybe I'm just religious, doing religious activities. Ek het net stilte tyd. Man, stilte tyd is baie keer so gevaarlik ons in stilte tyd, nê. They meditate. Meditate raak wel aan die slaap. That's what they do. You need an active time with Jesus, not just meditating in quietness. You need to hear his voice. I hope you understand me. I mean, I'm talking about the life of Jesus now. That's what it is. I feel just this morning that for this river of life to flow in this place, your fountain needs to be open. A fountain of living water will burst from each and every one of you. It's not the spiritual river that will flow. It's you and me. Come on. The Holy Spirit in every one of us. If we become fountains or small streams of life, we will see a river of life in this place. And you know what happens? You won't contain the people coming into this place. It will draw people. It will. We see it happen in a small sense. We see it happen in Swellendam. Because we've been pushing on this for many years now. Come on, guys. Because our default is religion. We get religious. We like to do meetings. Oh, my man. Afrikaans people, they like to do meetings. Hulle hou van 'n voorsitter en 'n agenda en 'n notule en ek weet nie wat alles nie, jowe. They love it. So they love a meeting on the Wednesday evening as well. A community meeting, but they do not do community life and they do not know what it is to be spontaneous in the spirit. Praying for someone in the wimpy. Shay boy, that's not church. You know what I mean? Come on. We need that. We need people so full of life that you can pray for anyone, everywhere, and prophesy anywhere. Are you ready for this? Yeah, lekker. So, where am I now? Lekker. A changed life. One of the signs of the life of Christ in the church and in your life is that you have changed. You're not the same. And you are being changed continuously, not just once. You can't be the same this year that you were last year. Come on. You had to experience some growth in your walk with God. The second thing that I see is a deep love relationship built on the revelation of who He is and what He has done for you. That's life. Every one of us filled with life and every one of us in church having a love relationship with Jesus. He wants to be your friend. Amen. We can't just do church and you neglect your relationship with God. I mean, we won't see the life of Jesus if you don't push in yourself and find a place where you sit with the Lord and just love Him. Just love Him. Come on, man. If I can do it, you can do it. Huh? Om vir 'n boer te sê, hy moet lief hê. Come on. Ek het vir jou gesê, ek het jou lief toe ons getroud is. Kan jy dit nie onthou nie? Come on, Len. Come on, Len. You have to become someone who loves. That's the river of love. The river of life. And it's like when you're a farmer or a businessman, and many of you are businessmen, you get functional. And everything that you do is functional and not relational. But when you get to Jesus, He wants relationship before function. He wants you to, that's why He said, the first commandment is what? That you will love your God with your whole heart, your whole life. It's a love relationship. So I'm still growing in this. I'm still growing and learning how to love God. But I need it. I can't get just functional with my God. I need to love Him. Because that will sustain His life in me. So many years, I had someone, I listened to his songs. Maybe there's one or two of you who know him. His name is Don Potter. Anyone knows him? Okay. He wrote a song, and I want to just read you the lyrics. He said, Prisoner, that's the song's name, Prisoner. There's been a jailbreak. I'm finally free. The chains on my feet have fallen from me. As I escape these prison walls, I see a man hanging on a cross. He paid the cost. Now I'm a prisoner. I can't explain this mystery. I'm a prisoner, still trying to be free. I'm just as caught as I ever was, but now I'm a prisoner of love. When I look at the cross, it is gone. I see a throne of grace surrounded by a song. He calls my name. I can't turn away. Holy love can take my heart captive this way. That's why I say I'm a prisoner of love. So even for me, I'm looking for that place to find a love relationship with God, not a functional one, not performance, not trying to be strong or, yeah, full of life, but having a love relationship with the Father, with Jesus. And maybe you've missed it. I mean, just to be honest this morning and say, you know what, I hear you talking about this, but I don't know if I really found it in my life to know God and to love Him for who He is, not just for what He can do for me. But intimacy produces life and love. Intimacy produces life and love. Without intimacy, no life. Am I right? You with me? Intimacy produces life. Life produces life. So when you spend time with Jesus and you're intimate with Him, His life will produce life in you and in me. That's how we find His life, is to spend time with Him. Talk to Him. Be honest with Him. Seek His face. The best time that you have in your day belongs to God. Not the worst times. Not just before you go to bed, you open the Bible and you put your finger there and see what's in there. I mean, it's not a love relationship with God. When you're with Him, He stirs up in you a love for the things that He loves. A love for the church, a love for the people. So then you become totally and utterly devoted to a life in the church. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 and 15 says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again." So in just the first sentence, Christ's love compels us. The Afrikaans says, "Sy liefde dring my." If you find that place of love, it's not a thing of, I have to do it. It's not a law. It's just something in your heart that you can't explain. Something happens with you, and it's a love of Jesus that compels you to just give everything that you have for Him, because you understand, if it was not for God, as it nie vir Hom was nie, waar was ek vandag, my broer? He saved me. He healed me. So many times I sit before Jesus and I wonder by myself, will I still be married? Will I still be married? Will I still be have my children with me if I didn't find Jesus in my life? Amen? So just two other things and I'm finished. Signs of life in a church will boil down to love relationships between the members of the church. One of the surest signs of the life of Christ in a church is when the people do not live for themselves anymore, but hearts and homes have opened. When Christ begins something in our church in Swellendam, we had a huge challenge if we want to find people who host other people, because this is my home. So when I get back from the work, I close the garage door, I close the devil's fork, I put on the TV, and this is my place of comfort. Now, don't you bother me with some people coming here and they want to stay here for the weekend and what's in my fridge? You must be joking, you know. Come on, I'm honest. That was 8 years ago. But now, With the life of Christ is in there, we see people, yeah, when we put out an invitation and say, come to us, we find so many homes have opened. Your life needs to be open for other people. That's the life of Christ. And the last one I have touched on is the spontaneous Christianity through the Spirit. When we as a church have a lifestyle of flowing in the life and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not just organized meetings, but flowing in the Holy Spirit, living in the Holy Spirit, being able to, when you're out there in the world, to live out Jesus. Not just in the church, out there in the world, when you're on the rugby field, when you're on the golf course, and you missed the ball, and you missed the putt, wherever, that you know you're living Jesus. People can see Jesus in you. A while ago, I was in Vredendal, and I spoke to an old farmer, and he told me something, yeah, just amazing. He said, I'm 80, I think it was 86, so I'm not on the farm anymore, my son is. But I visit the farm now and then. So we had a drought now for 5 years, he said. 5 years, no rain, or very little rain. So then he knows the farm. He was raised there. He was born on the farm and he was raised there for many years then. So he knows the farm. During the week, he goes out into the field and then he looks at the field and see how dry it is. Then he finds some of the karoo bushes, karoo bosses. Then he knows the karoo bushes. Then he says, you know what, Len? Me and my wife, we found some of those bushes. They were completely dead. For the first time that I farm in my life, I saw bushes completely dead. If you take the branches, the small branches and the leaves, there's no life in it. If you dig them out, you take them out by the roots, and you even look at the roots, there's no moisture in those bushes. For the first time in my life, it got so dry that there's no life in the bushes. And I said to my wife, this will take decades, not just 2 years of rain, but more than 10 years of rain to restore this farm to the original state that I bought it. And then it started to rain. And I went out in the field again. And I walked to that same place where I said, those bushes will never grow again. And you won't believe it. All of them grew. And while he was telling me this, I was just thinking in my spirit, sure, that's how I was. Dead. Completely dead. No signs of life. No signs of spiritual life. And the moment I met Jesus, he found something in me that started to grow. And I began to show signs of life. At first, small signs, up to a place where I can stand this morning and share with you. If you know me, sure, that's a miracle. It's a miracle to bring me at this place. You know, it's not that I have to do it, otherwise I'm going to lose my salary. It's like I want to do it. I want to do it, Jesus. I want to share what happened to me. I want to share the life of Christ with other people. Maybe this morning you sit here and there's different stages of spiritual drought in people's lives. Can we just close our eyes and we trust God this morning that He will touch you. Touch you this morning. Yes, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you love us, God. Thank you that you reach out to us even before we even was thinking of you. While we were still your enemies, you loved us. That's what the word says. While we were still cursing your name and and living a lifestyle of sins and transgressions. Father, you reached out to us and you drew us close to you and you called us on our name, and by your grace, Lord, we were saved. And we just love you for it. We just thank you for it, Lord. Without you, no life at all. It's not about doing things good. It's about you, Jesus. So this morning, I want to pray with those people, maybe, Lord, that have lost their life. And call out to you this morning that you will bring again life to their fountains, that they will be overflowing with your life inside of them, Father. I will just pray this morning that you will touch each and every one of those who acknowledges before you just now that they need a fresh touch from you. So I ask in Jesus' name, if you call out before God this morning and say, Lord, touch me again so that I will experience your life. I ask you to stand before God and say, yes, Lord, touch me this morning. Touch me. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's give time. I want to ask you again, if you want more of the life of Jesus, why don't you tell him this morning, Lord, here I am. I want you, Lord, to just open up the well and let the river flow. Let the fountain flow, Father. Take away. In this moment, I pray, Lord, each and every one of us that stand before you this morning, I pray, Lord, that you will take away all the debris, all the clutter, everything, Father, that have hindered the well to flow, to bring forth clear life, waters of life. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to find a place where we can press into you and find that special place of a love relationship, Lord Jesus, where we're not into religious stuff without life, but we're into a relationship where we can hear your voice clearly speaking into our spirits. And I pray now, Lord, that you will refresh and that you will revive every one of these people before you this morning, Father, that they will come to a place where they will find you and your face and nothing less, that you will become their first love again, Father. And just now, Lord, I pray that you will touch them and that you will speak to their hearts in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can I ask this morning if there's anyone this morning here that's never gave their heart to Jesus, that maybe for the first time you say, here I am, Lord. I've never found you really in my life. Won't you just put up your hand? I'll pray with you this morning. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.